We welcome in State Senator Mike Groney in for our weekly legislative update. Good morning, Senator. How are you?
Good, good.
Good to have you in the studio again. And a lot going on out there, that's for sure.
Yes, there is. A lot going on. I don't even know where to start. We're still planning on coming back July 20th, I guess, to the session, but I think we're going to be talking about, I don't know what's going to get done. A bunch of us senators met again Friday about property taxes. We still think it's the most critical issue out there as far as economic activity.
Sure.
That's what's, you could put money in everybody's pocket right away. You know, locally, you guys got all the budgets coming up. There shouldn't be a single local entity that has the foolishness to raise their spending, or there shouldn't be any raises this year. No government employee should get a raise this year because the free enterprise is hurting big time, and plus they kept their jobs, plus they got a $1,200 check in the mail, plus they got $500. And a lot of them were working from home and didn't have child care costs. Now, I'm not criticizing them. I'm just looking at the economics of it.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a job and be thankful, and they've had a job. But any government entity that starts raising salaries this year, or any group that expects it, I don't know, not much of a team player. But, and that's at the state level, and it should be at the national level too, because this thing isn't over, folks. What's hit us hard economically, you just don't make that open back, businesses and people don't, and governments don't make the tax base back overnight, and it doesn't happen in a fortnight. So anyway, that's some of the issues coming forward, but we're going to be looking at a cut. And if you read my column last week, I think the press picked up on it. I knew it before they did, but inside the CARES Act, there was some tax breaks for corporations, of course. And what it was is on their charitable donations and stuff, they're limited. I can't remember what their percentage was, to 10 or maximum of 10% or something like that of their total income. They doubled it and went to 25%. So when you got what happened then is our state taxes are based on the net taxes that you pay on the at the federal level, not net taxes, but the net income,
okay.
The adjusted gross income. They take that line, we do, and you put it on your state taxes, and then it's times 7.84%. Well, when that's lowered at the federal level, we get less taxes, too. So it was going to amount, the Revenue Department guessed, $125 million this next year, 2021, and or 2020, because it took effect on 2020 tax year, and then over the next 3 years, totaled about $250 million. We can't afford that, and that's one of the things I'm on the Revenue Committee that we're going to have to adjust our how we figure our state income taxes so we don't lose that income, those taxes. So, but there's always effects that you don't think about when you rush through something like the federal government did on their CARES Act. But,
right.
And then, of course, the governor has about $10.8 million came into the state on billion. $10.8 billion came into the state on the CARES Act. Most of that, of course, was a $1,200 a person, $500 a child. That's all in there. And then the grants and loans to the small businesses are in there, too. But at the end of the day, the governor had about $1.2 billion at his discretion, and he's used that for the testing. In fact, the $83 million that we went back, and if you remember the three-day session to give him $83 million to spend for emergency, he said he don't think he's going to use any of it, which is very good news.
I was going to ask, where are we at with that? So none of that's been touched so far?
No. Well, if it's been touched, it'll be repaid,
okay,
with the federal money by the governor's military office, which is the National Guard. So that's good news. That's would have been another big hole in our fund, in the state funding, the $83 million. You know, for 2000, our fiscal year in the state of Nebraska ends June 30th, July 1st, the beginning of the fiscal year. So the reality is the income taxes that will be finalized July 15th, because they moved that date from April 15th, will be good. because 2019 was a good year for everybody, and so the income taxes will be, receipts will be good. Sales taxes overall should be fine because we went through the tourist season last year, you know, July 1st on, mm-hmm. plus the Christmas season this year, and got those are the two big seasons on sales tax receipts. We've got those. It's just what's hit the tourist and restaurant businesses this year has been
roughly the end of February to now.
Yeah, that travel, that's a lot of money. I mean, it comes in sales tax through hotels, especially for a city like North Platte.
Oh, yeah.
And and the restaurant business, too, sales tax on those meals. But those will, you know, be in the May and June numbers more than anything, April, too. But also, so anyway, we don't know. But we're going to be looking very good at the end of this year. So we still have money, we believe, for property tax relief. And because the feds have picked up the cost of the COVID-19 issue, darn near 100% of it, and threw money into our colleges, threw money into our public schools. That's also included in that $10.8 billion. But so we're looking at property tax relief, yeah. We have to. It's the biggest issue on the minds of folks. It's what I'm hearing from agriculture interests. It's what I'm hearing from homeowners. It's what I'm hearing from young couples trying to buy a house. Mm-hmm. Well, this whole TIF issue, folks, what's it about? Property taxes. You think we'd have businesses chasing after TIF if property taxes were reasonable?
Weren't an issue, right?
Yeah, they're so burdensome in this state that we have big fights in communities like we had over this last issue. Why? Because property taxes, to keep them, to not have to pay them and to keep those revenues, are so prohibitive that you it makes or breaks a project. Now, that's not good.
No.
That's not good for economy. We've reached a point in Nebraska where the property taxes are a detriment to our growth. I just got an email after my last column from I won't say names, but he was made a dang good living here in this area for 20 years, and about 5 or 6 years ago, they moved to Texas. Bought an acreage because they had horses and things. And he said, boy, we wanted to come back, but he said, we can't afford. He said, Texas has no in-state income taxes, and when you reach the age of 65, your property taxes are frozen.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's practical. But you say, how do we pay for things? Well, maybe we don't have as many things. We're in the state of Nebraska. We need to slow down. We can't expect government to be the answer to everything. We don't have to have the best. I don't know what you call the best. You know, you can buy a $1,000 pair of designer blue jeans, or you can buy a 55 pair of Levi's, and you still got a pair of blue jeans. We seem to go after the $1,000 one when we hire football coaches, presidents of colleges, and things like that. Maybe we need to relook some of that. Maybe the thing with COVID is we realize that's not important, those things.
I think in some cases that's true. And people reassess their needs, their wants, or what they value.
Yeah. I mean, did really anybody miss the NBA playoffs? They would have just finished up here in June. But we'd all been paying attention and talking about it. And so anyway, but... But that's a societal thing. We need activities. We need things.
Need the water cooler talk.
We don't need the idle time, because we have riots in the streets when we have too much idle time. That's a victim of COVID too. I mean, what do you think people are going to do packed into cities when can't go to work, don't have the normal entertainment venues they went to? They're not like us out here, where we have open spaces. We mingle with our neighbors. We've got things to do in our yards.
We've not been shut-ins. We can social distance in Nebraska better than they can in New York.
We're not packed into an apartment building, and your job is your social life. What do you think is going to happen?
My oldest son is in a large urban environment. He's Rockville, Maryland, right outside of D.C., so you can imagine how that is. And his big thing is being able to go up to the top deck of the parking garage and get some sun. That's his thing. He can get out of his apartment long enough to go up and get some sun.
Must be a tall apartment. He gets above the clouds out there, huh?
Well, that's the other thing. He sent a an email here a while back. He said apparently Maryland hates him because he couldn't get any sun. It was just like cloudy continually.
Yeah, but it's little things in life. But we got a long way to go, and we don't change trajectories because of a virus. We got to the big issues are still out there.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm afraid Senator Chambers and Wayne will use this now as a podium for 17 days talking about social issues and. They have a right, you know. I was just telling you guys earlier. I just can't imagine a society that had two different water fountains and wouldn't drink at a water fountain because of somebody's color. I don't understand how they had segregated schools. I don't know what drove that. What did those kind of things? And it's just absolutely baffling to me that any human being who calls themselves a Christian would have adhered to those kind of beliefs, but
it's sad.
We had them in this country.
Yeah.
We had them in this country and in the South mostly, but and there's memories of that, and every time something goes wrong, those memories flare up again, and it affects all of us,
mm-hmm.
but even those of us who, you know, just live our lives and whoever's next to us, we live by them, and if it's ever we work with, and but affects us too. So there's going to be some, but I don't know what you can do about it. I mean, this defunding the police department is absolutely foolishness. I'm getting emails from
you hear Minneapolis.
Yeah,
they will
do away
with the police department.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah,
I'm going to see how that works.
Well, we send flyers out to people in middle class in Minnesota and say, "Welcome to Nebraska," but. We could use you, but I don't know. That's total chaos,
yeah.
And it's coming from these young minds out of the universities that are just absolutely dictatorial, claiming that not using any factual matters. I don't understand how any man calls himself a man who has somebody prone on the ground and handcuffed on his back kneels on his neck. I don't understand that when a hand on his shoulder would have done it, but I don't understand that either. And they have a right to be upset about that, but. But that's one man, one employee that was bad. That doesn't make all police officers bad.
No.
That doesn't. They're good people.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones I have dealt with in my life, if I ever was ornery in my youth, they cared about you. They didn't.
No.
They didn't.
Are you ornery in your youth?
Just once or twice.
No.
But anyway, but they're there. I mean, they're part of our culture, and this attack on them
absolutely.
Is just absolutely wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Because this isn't 1960 or 1950 anymore, and they do good work, and they're just our neighbors.
Unfortunately, like you said, Senator, there are bad cops out there, but there are good cops out there too. I mean, look at the great ones we have here locally between the sheriff's department and the city police department.
Mm-hmm. And I've lived here 20 some years, and I remember one or two bad ones we've had that had to flush out of the system. So that happens. That happens in. Ask any businessman. There's clerks that steal.
There's
clerks that steal credit cards.
There's bad cashiers.
There's bad everybody.
Yep.
There's bad college professors. Who
not bad steal. Politicians, though.
No. Well, yeah, there is.
Every other profession.
No, that's there is. I'm not but there's really bad politicians. I'll be honest with you. I'll give you an example.
I got you on that.
I got an example. You know, I fought TIF all this time because I knew its real purpose. It's for the poor. It's for the poor. And you understand why they get mad. Back in the 60s, this all happened. Inner cities were burning. They were burning. And then somebody came up with the idea, we will tell the rich developer that if he goes into those inner cities and rebuilds, a perfect poor-rich cooperation, we're going to rebuild your inner cities, this guy gets a tax break. But what did the rich do? Look at North Platte. They confiscated a program that was for the poor. They confiscated and used it for their pocketbook. It happened all over the state, all over mm-hmm. the country, and that happens to them over and over again. You give them a good program, somebody hijacks it, and then editorials are written about its economic development. It is not economic development. It's urban renewal. It's the only reason tax increment financing works is for. But you look at North Platte, that happened again. Back in the 60s, they were building on the outside edges of the city, not redoing the older parts of the city, so they came up with TIF. Look what's blighted in North Platte. It's not economic development. It was not a misfortune that the language for TIF, for blight and substandard, is very, very strong. It is what it is for a reason. It is supposed to be used in blighted and substandard areas. And we have them in North Platte. And the people who live there know it. Mm-hmm. When I walked in my district for Senate, there was houses boarded up and people lived in them. Plastic on the windows, shingles missing. So to say that the people wouldn't accept it if you did it right, I mean, it's just really frustrating. And I've known that, and that's why I've been so passionate about TIF. Because let's do things right, folks. If you're a city council person or a mayor, lower the tax rate if you want to bring economic development. Run your budget better. Build a YMCA. Work with YMCA. Get rid of that cost. Take the money away from the Golden Spike. You could lower your taxes by a third. The golf course. Instead, what do? You give away more property tax base and you drive up your property tax rates. It's common sense. But anyway, so I have always gotten passionate about that because I've seen the injustice of it. It was not used for the people it was intended to. TIF wasn't tax increment financing. But anyway, I think maybe the mindset is changing. A new mayor, and I mean, it's just disgusting that those people in Sugarberry. Now, one city council person that represented him, not the mayor, contacted any of them and said, "What do you think of this? Is that representative government?"
It was the other way around. It was the people that lived there that tried to contact their city council.
You got a cold shoulder.
And a lot of them got the answer, "Oh, it's the law. We got to do it." It isn't the law.
Yeah. Well, anyway. But it is what it is.
But
so,
it got voted down.
Yes, it did. I mean, the good news is they listened finally. Enough people rose up and said, enough is enough. And that, you're right, Rick, it all bears on us. Are you capable and you have views? Have you running for office? Are you? Are you contacting your city council person or your state representative? I get some calls and we help people what we can. But it's what it is. It's laziness on our elected. We've taken for granted this amazing ability from being a democratic republic. Yeah, where we're both.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it doesn't stop. The democratic part don't stop once you elect the person who then is the republic who represents an area. That relationship should always be there throughout the term of that elected official. So. Anyway, I don't look forward to the 17 days. They're going to separate us. They've got plexiglass in front of us, each senator in the state. And if you watch on TV, there's three of us in a row. They're going to take the center senator and move him to under the balcony. So we got and give him a mic over there or her a mic over there. And then hopefully everybody's there. Of course, the one senator has contacted the COVID virus, and I had a nice long visit with him the other day. Poor guy was like Rip Van Winkle. I spent an hour telling him who won the primaries and how close they were in the politics of the party. But he's a good man, and we don't know if he'll be back.
Physically, how's he doing?
Physically, he's on the good side of it. He was in there for 30 days.
If he's not able to make it back for the session, will he video conference or just be on it?
You know, we've always done it this way. I've lost votes. I've lost a vote that you worked on for years.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the people you needed to be your 25th vote or your 33rd vote was sick that day. Just happened to be sick.
Yeah.
I lost one vote because one person went home to watch their grandchild and a dance recital. I mean, that's what it is. If you elect somebody, you expect them to be there. But if you're sick, you can't be there. So
this individual, we don't want there either if they're not medically cleared either.
No. And so. I'm sure he'll show up if he can. The sad part is that's personal. I mean. And another senator leaked that he was in the hospital. And if he leaked it, that means somebody at Nebraska Medical, which is the hospital associated with UNMC, leaked it, and that's HIPAA violations.
Oh, yeah, major violation.
Yeah, and then his poor family had to come out and have a press conference and say that he was in the hospital with COVID.
And deal with things that they shouldn't have had to deal with.
Yeah.
They had enough
on
their plate.
Yeah, but there's a reason, for that HIPAA rule. Some of them are, you know, too far gone, but in that case, you know, he had to face some things, but he sounded like he's on the, if he tests a couple more times, you know, free of the virus, he'll be let go out.
Good.
Yeah, he's a good man.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, and but if we don't have 33, or you don't have your 17 to, well, it's more important on a filibuster, you have to have 33
mm-hmm.
to break a filibuster. The opponents don't have to have the 17, you know, 49 total.
Yeah.
If you're one of your 33 ain't there and the opponents only have, let's say, five of your 33 isn't there because they're sick or just didn't show up, it don't make a difference if the opponents only had 10. You lost.
Yeah, you didn't have that 33.
You got to have, it's the positive 33, not the negative vote that's more important.
Now, Senator Groney, your thoughts on the Judiciary Committee convening today and tomorrow to discuss things going on here with recent events?
It's a feel-good hand-holding. I'm listening. That's what I understand it is. It's not a bad thing. Don't tell me I'm wrong, but it's people going to come in and rant and rave that every, you know, I don't know. But I don't know really what it's a listening session, I guess.
Yeah.
In two different locations. But they're not having them in North Omaha. They're having them out at the Exarban campus and the Scott facility. So
there'll be a bunch of
white psychologists come in and PhDs come in and tell us what's wrong with our society instead of listening to the people who want to.
I wish they'd get a little more widespread with these. There's two of them. They will be aired on NET, but, I mean, I wish they could step out of the box a little bit. Come to Grand Island. Come to North Platte, you know.
But you understand we get paid $12,000 a year.
I do understand.
And you
that.
Represent one district, and these people are trying to make a living and to come
absolutely.
Out here. And then, but, you know, I'm glad it's on NETV.
Yeah, it's a fine balance.
It is.
I agree.
Yeah, you know, and there's some. I wish, you know, when it affects certain topics, and they need to be out in the rural areas, or need. Well, if you're in the Scott Center, the old Exarban. That's no different than being in North Platte versus where you should be in North Omaha, listening to those folks complain about why they're not treated right. But I don't know. And you got to remember also that this happened in Minnesota. It didn't happen in Nebraska. We haven't had a real... The Barclay, Bear Clay, or whatever, since that incident, but that was a person more of a mental capacity than a racial thing. But the police in Nebraska behave very well.
Mm-hmm.
They do. We're not what we used to be. You know, back in the '60s, we were a hot spot with Malcolm X, and it was Los Angeles, us, and New York, and a couple places in Georgia that had the big riots and burnt part of town. And there's still a lot of racism in Omaha. I don't care what you say. I meet some of them. They wear suit and ties, and they're big business. But anyway, it's not out here. I don't think it's out here. I don't even care what. I meet somebody on the street. Somebody said, "What color was that person?" I couldn't tell you after they walked by me, because I don't look for it. And we work together, and the police here. I don't think anybody cares, you know. You know, I was thinking about that the other day. We had an interracial murder here, threw the body out in the lake out here, and nobody cared. I mean, nobody cared about the race. It was just a tragedy that a couple had a fight and something went wrong. But so we can't, you know, with 320 million people or whatever we are, we just got to quit focusing on one incident.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just not right. We do that too often. We think in the mob mentality or the crowd mentality, and we're individuals. That's what's great about this country and why our forefathers came here, because they wanted to get away from that. We're all one group subservient to the king. We're individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And but some people want to go back to that mentality. And we've never left it, I guess.
Some people didn't.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate.
The quote, elites.
Yeah. So, you know, you can get into psychology all you want, but I think part of it is that the multi-rich had all liked these type of situations because, everybody wants to be better than somebody else, and then if you could have a class of people that the lower whites could attack, they weren't attacking their ivory towers. But that's got to stop. It's try to get some equality because you work harder than the other guy, and that's the equality you should seek.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever. Now I'm getting into philosophy, which I better stay away from. I don't have a degree in it, so as they say nowadays, you can't talk about a subject that you don't have a degree in. The elites will tell you. But anyway.
In that case, I'm trouble the rest of the week. Somebody else is going to need to be coming and doing the show.
I don't even want to know what your degree is.
Senator Groney, as always, we appreciate the time, sir. We'll see you again next Monday.
Yes, we'll be back. Thanks.
More coming up on Mugs in the Morning after a check of news.